Well, I am so excited about today because I am so excited for the Lord and what He's doing and what He's going to do here today. Hallelujah. And God is going to do something great, and I believe in it. And I believe that we're going to have a mighty outpouring at our altar call today, and God's going to touch many people. Praise God. And I'm so excited to have our good friends here, the Olivers. I know I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The Olivers come here and they're evangelists, but they're more than just evangelists to us. They're family. When they come here, we love them. And I want them to come up here right now and to have their liberty, share the word of God with us. Let's give them a big hand.
Let's give that hand clap of praise to Jesus. What a good time we're having here today. Are we having a good time? Yeah! I tell you what, this is wonderful. I tell you, the puppets and everything else is very entertaining, but I felt Jesus. Did you feel Jesus? Wow! When we praise and worship Him, even if we are a little silly, Jesus loves that. He loves that. And you know the reason He loves that is this reason here. Jesus loves you. And He wants you to have a good time. And that's why I really like this sign up here. Jesus loves you for life. All your life, He loves you. And what that means is this. You don't have to be the richest kid on the block for Jesus to love you. And really, to tell you the truth, you don't have to be the nicest kid on the block. Jesus still loves you. Now, He doesn't want you to be mean. And He really doesn't want you to be poor. He wants you to be rich. But the thing is, we can be rich in His love. So today, if you're here and you think Jesus doesn't love you, you're wrong. You're just wrong. I'm sorry. You're wrong. Jesus loves you. And here's the thing. Jesus loves you whether you love Him or not. And how do I know that? Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked on this earth and He died for the whole earth so that they could go to heaven. And what that means is, even before you were born, even before anyone was born in here, Jesus loved you. And He loved you whether you doubt. He loved you whether you've been a sinner. He loves you just the same. And He wants each and every one of us to go to heaven. And that's why He's so happy that we have gathered here today, so that we could feel His presence. Now, what I get to do is this. I get to teach you something called the four steps of worship. How many of you know the four steps of worship? Look at this. Isn't that great? Fantastic. You can put your hands down. Now, I didn't see a whole bunch of adults raising your hands. That's okay. Because I'm going to teach you adults even the four steps of worship. And we do this every place we go because with the four steps of worship, you can get to know Jesus better. He already knows everything about you. He knows the good things that you've done, and you know what? He knows the bad things you've done too. And He still loves you. And I'm not just speaking to the kids. I hope you know that. He loves us all. And He wants us to talk to Him. And we have just found with these four steps of worship, it makes it so easy to talk to Jesus. So today, I want to invite each and every one of you to talk to Jesus. And here's the main reason why I want you to do this. If you don't talk to Jesus, even though He's created a wonderful place called heaven for you to be, if you don't talk to Jesus, you're not going to go to heaven. And, you know, I don't think it can be any simpler than that. You have to talk to Jesus. You have to have what's called a relationship with Him so that you can go to heaven. And all that really means is Jesus loves you so much that He gave His life for you. Jesus wants you to love Him. And the way we show Him that we love Him is we talk to Him, and we talk to Him from our hearts. We just don't say words, but we talk to Him and really mean it. Okay? So, I'm going to ask each and every one of us to do these four steps of worship. Kids, I want you to sit with your back against the back of your seats, with your legs hanging down. If you have anything in your hands, even if it's your Bible, I want you to put it underneath your seat because we're going to be using our hands in just a few minutes. We love this church and we are so happy to be here. And we want to be a blessing to you, if at all possible, today. The very first step in the steps of worship is so easy. And it's something that anybody can do. Actually, even a little baby could do it. And that's just to close your eyes. So just close your eyes and show Jesus how much you love Him by closing your eyes. Now, the reason why we close our eyes is to shut everything out of our minds this morning except for Jesus. It amazes me, even as old as I am, how wonderful my eyes are. That I can see so many different colors and shapes and sizes. But with my eyes open, it's very difficult just to think about Jesus. And that's what I want you to do today. I want you to close your eyes and think only about Jesus right now. We've already talked about how Jesus died for you on the cross. I want you to put that picture in your mind this morning. I want you to see Jesus's arms outstretched. And I want you to see those big long nails they pounded into His hands and even into His feet. And I want you to see the crown of thorns that they pressed upon Jesus' head. And to look at Him and know how much He suffered. To look at Him and know that He was God in a man's body. And that He could have called 10,000 angels to come and rescue Him from that suffering and pain. But He said, I have to do this for you. I love you so much, and it's only through me shedding my blood. It's only through me dying on this cross that you can come to me and ask me to forgive you, and I will. You can come to me and ask me to live in your heart and be your best friend, and I will. I will help you. It's only through this that you can make it to heaven. You don't have to be rich, like I said. You don't have to be pretty. You don't have to be smart. But you do have to be smart enough to say, Jesus loved me that much. He died for me. I want you to keep that picture in your mind, Jesus on the cross, as we do the second step. The second step is also very easy, and that's just to lift your face just a little bit. Not so much that you hurt your neck, but just a little bit so Jesus can see that beautiful face that He created. That face that He loves so much. That face that He wants to see in heaven someday. And He can see right into your heart to see that you really mean these four steps of worship. That you want to be Jesus' best friend and go to heaven someday. And that leads us right into the third step. The third step is also very easy, and it's just to raise both of your hands towards the sky. To reach out to Jesus this morning. To surrender to Him. Because Jesus raised His hands for you when He died on the cross. And we need to raise our hands willingly for Jesus to show him how much we love him. And now the fourth step. This is the most important step. Jesus loves this more than anything. And it's to use your loud voice, a voice that you might even use outside, and tell Jesus how much you love him and how you want him to be your best friend. Let's talk to Jesus right now with a loud voice. Talk to him from your heart. Tell him that you love him. Ask him to forgive you. He's here today. Oh, we love you, Jesus, and we praise your name. We worship you, Lord. We have felt you already today, Jesus. And we're asking you, Lord, to help us with everything that we do. We want to feel you more and more and more and more. Oh, I love you, Jesus. See these children as they're using their loud voices. See these young men as they cry out to you, Lord, today. See these young ladies using their loud voices for you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We call on your name, the name above all other names, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He yama shatariyama kalarama. He rama koshalarama tarama. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you're doing so good. You're doing so good. Jesus loves you. He loves you. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Jesus. Come on, let's lift our voices in the house. Come on, let's give him our very best right now. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're entering into your presence, Lord. Come in, Lord Jesus. Fill this place with your glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you tell him you love him right now? I love you, Jesus. We're entertaining his presence. I love you, Jesus. Kids, say it. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's walking among us today. You don't have to stop. Go ahead and entertain his presence. We can take a little time here to welcome him in. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us, that you died on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Jesus, that you're drawing near to us today. Have your way, Lord, in our midst. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Thy will be done in the name of Jesus. Thy will be done in the name of Jesus. Now I take authority right now over every spirit of man or of Satan. In the name of Jesus. Let's stand together for the reading of the word. They did not ask me what scripture text I was reading today because they know what text that I'm going to choose. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Children, how many of you already know that scripture? Raise your hand. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. How many of you adults know Acts 2:38? They knew I was going to go to Acts 2:38 because that's my theme. Brother Oliver and I are harvesters. What that means, you've planted, you've watered, God gives the increase. There are souls today that are going to receive from Jesus. And so if you think that you came today just to pay a visit for a weekly visit to church and then go about your life, you are sadly mistaken, because the Lord has something for each and every one of us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now we're going to read 38, 39, 40, 41, and 42. Acts chapter 2 and 38 says, say it with me. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Turn to your neighbor and say, that was all truth. And you may be seated. Now, children, I want you to put your back against the back of the seat with your legs hanging down. And if you're a wiggly kid like me, I want you to hook your hands together like this and hold on real tight. And if your feet start wiggling, you cross your ankles together and hold on. Okay? And I don't want you to go out while I'm talking. I'm going to hurry. But I need you to stay right here with me, okay? And keep your eyes up here and listen really good. And I'm sure if they can use kid power and sit real still, then we can use adult power too. Hallelujah. We're only here for a short time, and we want God to have his way, don't we? We are delighted to be back with you again. We call this our second home. You are our family, and we love you. If you're just getting to know us today, we love you already. And we're so glad you're here, and it's not an accident that you came today. God does not have any accidents in the kingdom. There's always a reason for everything. And we're delighted to be with our son-in-law and daughter and our precious twin grandgirls. And that's an added perk, but you can't blame me for coming only for that, because I was coming many years before that ever happened. That's just an added perk. And so God is so good. Brother Grant, Sister Grant, it's a delight to see you, to be with you. We love you very much. Dear friends, I believe this is our 20th year, if I have my math right, to come and be with you. So we've been friends a long time. Brother Grant, Roy Grant, you are my brother from another mother, but you're my brother. We are so much alike, it's scary. And so we love Roy and Lois. And Brother Solberg, you're doing an awesome job with the Sunday school. Very good. Very good job. Hallelujah. So it's all good. Take a deep breath. Say, it's all good. I want you to relax. When we come to church, it should not be tension. We should come and have a good time. But if you're standing up here, it does not look like folks are having a good time most of the time. You need to notify your face that you're glad to be here and that you're having a good time. Okay? Just take a deep breath. I've got this boat up here. You know I always carry a lot of junk around with me. And I have this boat up here because I'm going to tell you about this boat. Now, this boat's been here before, but it's been a very long time. And the Lord spoke to me at the beginning of the year. I hadn't had it out for several years. And he said, I want you to get that boat out and take it everywhere you go this year. And so here it is again in Madison, Wisconsin. This boat is on a table. It is a real lifeboat. This did not come from Walmart. This boat came from the Navy base in Millington, Tennessee. This is a real boat. This boat's been on tables across 46 states and 3 foreign countries, but it's never been on water. But it will float because it's a real lifeboat. When I got this boat 21 years ago, I was telling a pastor about the stories, the messages God was giving me for people about this little boat. And he said, that's a wonderful idea. But Sister Oliver, you need a boat. Let me work on this. You can't just put a life raft up there that you put on a swimming pool. You know, you got to have a real boat. And it wasn't very long till he called me. Sister Oliver, I found a boat for you. Come drive back to Millington. It was about 50 miles from where I was living. He said, I've gone to the Navy base that's closing, and I bought a boat for the ministry. So I made the trip to Millington, and when he gave me that boat, it was wrapped up in a little square about this big. And he said, now you're going to have to figure out how to inflate it. I'm not sure about all of that, but I did buy it for you, and I want you to have it. And he gave me the boat. And so my mind is just clicking. How am I going to inflate that? How am I going to carry it everywhere I go? And all of that. And I had to go to the grocery store, and I went and got groceries, and it was in Memphis, Tennessee, and it was 105 degrees that day. And when I came out of the grocery store and opened up the hatch in my van, there was no room for my groceries. I found out how the boat inflates. They have designed a lot of these boats that the minute the hot sun hits them, they inflate. So that was quite exciting. I didn't carry a sun lamp with me. Brother Oliver fixed it so we could inflate it with a pump. But also some of them come with tanks that will inflate them. Some of them inflate in salt water. Nevertheless, they are on the ships that are out at sea. They are in the aircraft that's in the sky, ready in case someone needs to be rescued. That's why it's called a lifeboat. It saves lives. I'd like to call this boat today the new lifeboat. Because when you give your heart to Jesus, you get a brand new life. You are indeed rescued. Let's talk about it a little bit today under the title of Get in the Boat and Stay in the Boat. Everybody say it on the count of three. One, two, three. Get in the boat and stay in the boat. Pretty simple thought. You see, the lifeboat is on that ship that is out at sea. That soldier knows when he signed up for the military that he made a commitment. I belong to them now. They will take care of me. They know where I am at all times. And so if something happens to me, they will take care of me. They'll come and get me. He goes out on that big ship in the sea, and something goes wrong, and the ship begins to sink. Perhaps a fire is taking place. Pieces are falling. He's in danger. He knows he must do something quickly in order to be rescued. And so the sailors will grab these little life rafts. This is a one-man life raft. He will throw it over the side of that boat. He will not think about it. He will not hesitate. He'll jump in that boat and grab the paddle and paddle away from the burning wreckage, because he wants to be rescued. He wants to be saved. Wouldn't it be strange? Wouldn't it be silly if that soldier saw the ship was sinking? Everything's a mess around him. He knows he's in dire straits, and he stands on the side of that big ship that's going down in shark-infested waters, and he says, y'all go on without me. I don't want to be saved. I just want to sink with the ship and be eaten by sharks and tormented. So y'all just go without me. I really don't want to be saved. No one would do that. Then why do people walk out of a church on Sunday morning and rush out to get dinner and say, no, preacher, don't tell me how to be saved. I'm not interested. I want to go down with this sinking ship called the world. Everything's a mess all around us. Hallelujah. Why would you do that? When you're here today, hearing very simply what it takes to be rescued. Are you reading the paper? Are you listening to the news? Not very much, I hope. Because it will drive you crazy. It'll make you mad. It'll make you sad. It'll bring out a lot of emotions. You know, just don't do too much of it, because when you're a child of God, you understand that He'll never see the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. We're going to be okay. He's going to take care of us because we're in the boat. The boat is the church. Say the church. The boat is the church. You got to get in the church. You got to be rescued. You have to be saved in order to be rescued. That sailor knows. They know where I am. He gets in that little boat. He paddles away from that ship that is sinking. And he keeps his eyes toward the sky. And he watches and he listens. I belong to them. They know where I am. They're going to come and get me. This pink you see around this boat, it unrolls to make a tent over the sailor's head. It will protect him from the wind and the rain and the hot sun. If a storm comes about, he will get down in that boat and he will cover up. He's protected. The Lord will take care of you when you're in the boat. He'll take care of you. He'll protect you from the wind and the rain and the hot sun of this life. Whatever troubles come along, he doesn't have to worry about them finding him. Because in these little boats, I just found this out recently. This is so cool. I met an old gentleman in his 80s that spent 3 days in one of these boats. He said, "Sister Oliver, it was the same boat. It looked just like that." He said, "But I knew they would come and get me, because in this little boat, this very one," and he showed me, "there's a compartment here on the side. I wondered ever since I've had this boat what this compartment was." He showed me. He said, "In that compartment is a beacon. A beacon is a light." He said, "When you get in the little boats and you cover yourself up to protect you from the wind and the rain and the hot sun, you get that little beacon and you turn it on. And not only does it provide the light for you so that you can relax and not be stranded in darkness, but that light sends out a signal. Not just that they see the light from the sky, but it sends out a signal back to home base that says, 'This is where I am. I need you to come and get me now. I'm out here and I need to be rescued. Would you please come and get me?'" Hallelujah. We're living in the last hour of time, and the church is starting to pray, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Don't forget about us. We're out here waiting for you." The Bible says he's coming back for those who are watching for his appearing. You turn that beacon on and you're letting the Lord know, "I'm watching for you, Jesus. I'm watching. I'm listening." He said he was 3 nights, 3 days in that little boat, and all of a sudden he heard the rumbling in the sky. I said, did they come and get you?" "Oh yes. It was a rumbling in the sky." He said, "I heard it before I saw it. A rumbling in the distance. And then there it appeared. The helicopter. They came down and let down a rope with a harness. I fastened myself up in that and they took me away to safety." The church is listening for a rumbling in the sky, because Jesus Christ himself is coming back. The Bible says Jesus is coming back. It could happen before we have lunch today. But you're not going if you're not in the boat. Well, tell me how to get in then, Sister Oliver. Well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you how to get in. Because you can't go to heaven if you're not saved. Now, we read it in the Bible, but I'm going to spell it out real plain. So no one will get in the car or get on the bus and go home and say, well, I don't know how to be saved. You'll never have an excuse again. Because all you have to do is bring your heart to Jesus. I've seen thousands of people that made up their mind to bring their heart to Jesus. You have to do this yourself. Nobody can do this for you. But it's so easy. So easy that back in January, when I got on a big airplane with a group of people that were going for a missions trip to Uganda, Africa, I got to see little children who never went to Sunday school, that never took a home Bible study, that didn't own a Bible. I got to see them get in the boat. When they took us out to the orphanage of 1,500 children, most of them, their parents had passed away from AIDS. A lot of them lay dying on mats in little straw huts of eight. All of them very sick. No food, one little bowl of mush a day. Only the clothes that they had on their body was all they had. And they packed them into a big building, block walls, with big lizards crawling all over the walls, the size of our alligators. Well, little alligators. With big red heads, crawling all over the walls. And they packed us in that building. And when I say packed, those kids could only barely stand side by side, packed in that room. And they allowed us to step up on the platform, which was one little cement step. The rest was dirt floor. And we did the four steps of worship. And those 1,500 orphans began to weep and cry, the tears rolling down their cheeks, their little hands raised straight above their heads. There was no room to stretch them out, but straight above their heads. And I remember that I thought, Lord, we can't even get in there to pray with them. We can't touch them. We can't do anything to help them receive. You're going to have to do it. You see, for a long time, we have thought we have to help God out a whole lot with this stuff. We have done altar working, which we need. We have taught and trained and all of this, which we do need. But the reason why we need so much of it is because we don't let the Spirit do the work. We ought to be able to help people to understand what they need to do, then they do it. And we ought to be able to speak a word and the Holy Ghost fall. Hallelujah. Because it's a gift. You don't beg for a gift. It doesn't take a long time to open a gift. No one should ever be afraid to come to the front and receive their gift. If it were a gift that I brought today and I spent a lot of money on it and I wrapped it all up pretty and I said, I'm going to give it to you, you wouldn't run out the door and say, no, I'm scared. You'd run right up to the front and get it from me. That's how easy it is to receive this gift. The Bible says repent. That means bring your heart to Jesus. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I watched as those 1,500 children without reservation began to cry and pray and say, I'm sorry, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. The minute you ask him to forgive you, you allow him to go into your heart. He's a perfect gentleman. He won't go in there until you ask him. With your mouth, you confess, Jesus, I need you. I need you. The minute you ask him to forgive you, he doesn't even look in there. He doesn't care what you've done. To Jesus, sin is all the same. He already paid the price for your gift. It cost him everything on an old rugged cross. He doesn't care what your sin is, but he just wants you to be sincere in confessing it and telling him you're sorry and making up your mind you're not going to do it anymore. You may not be perfect, but you're going to try not to do it anymore. That's repentance. He's not like everybody else. He doesn't look in there and say, you mean you did all that? You better cry a little longer. Maybe in about 6 months, I'll forgive you. He doesn't say, well, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget you did that. That's what we do. That's not what Jesus is like. The minute you say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. With one sweep of his hand, he cleans all of that out and leaves a clean, empty heart where he can move in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I watched as those children began to repent of their sins. And I knew I was not going to be able to really explain much because of the language barrier. I had an interpreter. I had these very hearts with me in Uganda, Africa. And I showed those children that what Jesus wants to do is give you a brand new heart. The Bible says repent and be baptized. It says every one of you. Then it tells you how, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. If you haven't been baptized today, you need to hurry. Because Jesus is coming anytime. And when Jesus comes, the only beacon that is going to be shining where he will find you is when you're covered by the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. You got to take on his name. Say, well, I know I was baptized as Oliver, but I'm not sure how. I don't really remember exactly what they said. Then don't take chances. If you're not sure what they said, the pastor will baptize you again so that you can hear him say, in the name of Jesus. I said that last weekend. And a woman and her husband came running to the altar in their 70s. She embraced me. She said, I have got to be baptized, my husband and I, today in the name of Jesus. The tears were running down their faces. She said, we have pastored for 26 years. We just retired from a church nearby here. We pastored for 26 years. We baptized people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's what we said. And she said, we both have seen the revelation that those are titles, that we got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. She said, we're going to make our way back. We're going to tell all those people they need to take on the name of Jesus. I watched that elderly couple go down in the name of Jesus Sunday morning. Last Sunday. So don't walk out of here and say, well, I'm sure what I did was just fine. If you didn't do it in the name of Jesus, you need to get it done. Jesus is coming. The helicopter's in the sky. We can hear it. We can't see it yet, but we can hear it. Don't walk out of here without being baptized in Jesus' name. And you shall receive the gift. Not might, not maybe. It's going to happen. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I stood in front of those precious children. I explained the best that I could. And as they were weeping, the tears rolling off their cheeks, and the girls are being much better behaved than the boys. I'm watching. You think I'm not watching? I have candy for after church. Sit back. Put your legs down. Hands in your lap. You're losing your minds up here. There you go. Excuse me. I was talking to them. Those children, with the tears rolling off their cheeks, their little hands raised. And I said, in the name of Jesus, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Before I even opened my eyes, there was a sound of abundance of rain. The Holy Ghost began to fall all over that building. Those children were jumping straight up and down, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. The Bible says he'll take away your stony heart and give you a brand new heart. Hallelujah. They were speaking words in another language. Don't get hung up on how to figure it all out. These were children that didn't know anything about this. But the day they learned about it, they received it. So don't say, I got to figure this out first. All you have to do is believe. You come and you believe. And then the Lord said, I want to talk to them about baptism. You're not in the boat if you hadn't been baptized. And so I had one of the ministers come and bring a child and demonstrate that what happens is they put you in the water and it's about waist deep and you hold your nose and they say, I now baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. And they dunk you under real quick and back up. No one has ever drowned being baptized. You don't have to be afraid. But when you come out of that water, you're going to feel glorious. You're going to feel clean. You're going to feel ready. You're going to feel wonderful. Hallelujah. And so I was explaining to the children, and so I'm looking into these beautiful brown eyes that have just received the Spirit, hundreds of them, received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They were reaching in the windows, speaking with tongues, the Holy Ghost on their little hands. It was glorious. And I was speaking to them about baptism. And the Lord said, I want you to tell them to follow the American team out that door, and they will get their names. So I said, now all of you who are ready to be baptized in Jesus' name, follow the Americans out that door right there and they will get your names. As it was coming out of my mouth, I thought, oh, what have I done? 1,500 kids are going to rush out that door. Because when you say follow the Americans, that means candy and treats. They call them sweeties. Sweeties, they'll run after the bus by the hundreds screaming, sweeties, sweeties. I thought, what have I done? I just stood there and I froze and I closed my eyes. I thought, it's all over. Oh, me of little faith. When I opened my eyes because the Spirit was doing a work, 207 children from all over that building stood and began to follow those people out the door orderly. No one running. The rest of them had their little hands in the air and continued to speak with other tongues. The music began to play. They brought in musicians and the music began to play. And those children were out there in line with the Americans getting their name. Most of them only know a first name. And they were writing out their names, 207 of them. As we were dismissing the service, we're going to take them to be baptized. The pastor was organizing the team, etc. And there was a clap of thunder. And I promise you, out of nowhere, the skies burst open and a rainfall came, a torrential rain. I was so confused. I said, oh no, we have these children all ready to take them to be baptized. Now what's going to happen? It's raining so hard. The trees were shaking and these big fruit, they're called jackfruit. They were falling out of the trees. You have to run. You get hit in the head, you're goner when those big fruit fall out of the trees. And so I thought, oh, what are we going to do? And we had to pile on our buses quickly and go back to our hotel some 3 hours away. And the next morning when I arrived, I was so concerned. How are we going to find those children that wanted to be baptized? The pastor met us at the bus and he said, Sister Oliver, the most wonderful thing has happened. It has rained very hard all night long. I was wondering how we were going to have money to rent buses to take 207 children to the river. The Nile River is the closest big body of water. He said, I took a walk this morning down a little bush path, not too far from here. And it's waist high of a man. That swamp hasn't been filled like that for a long time. But God filled it. And I watched 207 little children We walked along that bush path, holding hands, hearing them sing a little song that someone had taught them in English that I had never heard. But their little voices raised in song. Jesus is double, double. Jesus is triple, triple. Jesus is everything to me. We got down to the water and there were four men standing in that old swampy African swamp. And those kids were so excited because in one service, without a lot of training or Bible study or Sunday school, the Holy Ghost did the work. And the revelation of the oneness of Jesus Christ came to a bunch of little kids with no hope. And they made the right decision. Will you make the right decision today? I watched him make the choice. Now, do I want to keep the clothes on that I have and get them wet? Or do I want to have dry ones when I'm done? Because they only have that one outfit, whatever it is, ragged and torn and dirty. And a lot of them were shedding their clothes. They were jumping in that swamp naked, going down in the name of Jesus. Coming out shouting all over the bank, speaking with other tongues. Hallelujah, this is real. There are going to be some little African children that when the helicopter comes, when Jesus comes back, every tribe and every nation, all those who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What's that mean, Sister Oliver? No man comes unless he draws them. So if he's saying today's your day, you better not walk out of here. What if he doesn't call you again? What if you don't have tomorrow? What if the trumpet sounds before lunchtime today and you're not in the boat? Don't walk out of here. Some of you come every Sunday morning and you walk out of here every Sunday morning. Today's the day to come this way. You'll never be able to say again, I wasn't sure how to do it. I didn't understand it. I thought I'd do my Bible study first. Hey, Bible studies are great, but don't wait till you're done with your Bible study. You don't have to understand a gift to receive it. You don't have to know what's in it. I told you how to be saved today. And now it's up to you. Would you stand with me? I want the altar workers to come. I want them to come first and line up in front of these steps here. Children, I want you to look up here at my face and be very quiet. Across this building, this is your time to receive your gift. Now, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, these people are not going to touch you. They're not going to hurt you. They're only here to answer a question if you have one, to help you if you need help. Okay? So I don't want you to be afraid. Now, children, how many of you have never spoken in tongues before? Raise your hand. You don't have the Holy Ghost yet. I want you to come first. You don't have the Holy Ghost. Teachers, help them out. You've never spoken in tongues before. You come first.
Hallelujah.
I'm coming down here because I may have to come get somebody. I'm coming over here to this section first. If you need somebody to hold your hand and walk you up, I will. The oldest person I ever prayed through is 91. The youngest is 3. Anybody on this side right here that does not have the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you're not sure, you need to walk to the front right now. You need to come with me. Come on, darling. Anybody else? Come on. Today's your day. The Lord already showed me. If you'll come, He's going to fill you today. I'm over here in this section now. Anybody that does not have the Holy Ghost, you've never spoken with tongues before, come on, I'm coming back to get you. Don't wait. If you're not sure, just go ahead and come and let us pray with you. Anybody? Anybody back here? You got the Holy Ghost, baby? Today's your day. Come on. Come on. Today's your day. Somebody meet this precious lady up here. She's coming. Come on. Anybody on this side? Today's your day. Anybody on this side? It's going to happen so easy. Come on, darling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's okay. All right, one more section over here. Anybody need a hand to walk to the altar? Somebody needs to pray through again. Come on, anybody over here? I'm coming to help you. Close your eyes across this building. Raise your face. Raise your hands. And begin to use your playground voice, your out loud voice. We're going to confess our sins. We're going to ask Jesus to forgive us first. I'm sorry, Jesus, for the bad things I've done. Please forgive me. Please clean out my heart. Get your heart all cleaned out. It's getting ready to happen. The Holy Ghost is getting ready to fall right there. Right there. I'm sorry, Jesus, for my sins. Please forgive me. In the name of Jesus, receive ye the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. There it is right there. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and speak that out, honey. That's your Holy Ghost right there. Speak it out. That's it right there. Come on, speak it out. In the name of Jesus. Receive.